Amen, amen. Happy Sunday. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Say, Jesus is alive. Say, Jesus is alive. Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday to all our campuses, everybody out there. God bless y'all. This is amazing that God has risen from the dead. Our Savior is alive. Amen. Come on. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on. Can I ask all of y'all to stand up? My name is Miles. I'm Pastor The Rock. Welcome to church today. I want to welcome all our first-time visitors. I was on a KUSI, a local TV station yesterday, and they were saying, what's so special about Easter? Our Savior who died, they thought they had him down, they thought they killed him, and he rose from the dead, and he defeated death. Amen? We have hope beyond the grave. That's what's great about it. Come on. I want to welcome all our campuses all around San Diego, and a special welcome to our Chula Vista campus. They are in their first service, their new building. Let's give them a big hand. God bless y'all. I know they're crying happy tears down there. So listen, I'm excited about the word. Let's pray and get into this. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for keeping your promise. You said if they killed you, 3 days later you would rise from the dead. You kept your promise. And if you kept that promise, you can keep all other promises. So we thank you. And I pray everyone at the sound of my voice, just for a minute, just take a deep breath. Lord, speak to us. Set people free today. Give them hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, I have hope. Well, welcome to Resurrection Sunday 2026. I want to thank you for coming today. I know that God's going to speak to you. I pray that you receive what he has to say. Next week, next Sunday, we are going to start a series on the book of Mark. So we would invite you back to join us in all the campuses, obviously, here in San Diego and Oahu as well. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. My mother passed away in 2017. She had cancer, and my sister and I took care of her. She was at my sister's house, and we were there when she took her last breath. For all of you whose parents are alive, love your parents while you have them. And if you have issue with your parents, deal with it. It's not worth it. Let it go. But if you can be there when they take the last breath, I would encourage you to do that. And after my mom passed, the mortician came and he was going to take the body. And we were standing outside the room where she was laying. And he said, I'm going to go in and prepare the body. And I said, I'm going to go with you. So I went in the room. It was me, him, and my mom. Obviously, he doesn't know my mom. And obviously, I know everything about my mom. And he said, do I have permission to wrap her in this sheet? I said, yes. Can I wrap her legs? He said, yes. I said, yes. He said, can I wrap her arms? I said, yes. Can I wrap around her torso? I said, yes. And he was so methodical and patient and loving and caring. He was ministering to me, and I actually told him this after. I said, bro, you're a pastor. You just pastored me. And he communicated in a very vivid way how much he cared for the process and how much he wanted to give dignity to my mom in a passing. When Jesus was killed, they wrapped him in a cloth. They wrapped his body, they wrapped his head, they wrapped him with spices. It was their tradition. And when Jesus rose from the dead, the tomb was empty. And we always on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, talking about, you know, the empty tomb. But today I want to talk about the empty grave clothes, because Jesus left the grave clothes behind, and he left them behind in such a way to send a message to us. And as I describe what Jesus did very intentionally, by the way, everything he did was very intentional. I want to I'm praying that his message to us through his grave clothes would minister to you and give you hope today, that this is not just a holiday. It's not a holiday. It's an event. It's the most incredible. It's the Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup, MMA, whatever they call their little championship thing, all wrapped up in one, and that's only 1% of it. This is the most important event in the history of the world, that our Savior died and rose from the dead. Why? Because he gives life and eternal hope to all of us. But I want to read something real quick from John 20, but let me give you context of who Jesus was. He lived 33 years. When he was 30, he started his ministry. Anybody here 30, by the way? Raise your hand if you're 30. Y'all, how many of y'all are over 30, okay? Y'all are older 30. Old, hey, oh, I'm walking in like, get me out of the sun, baby. Sorry it took you so long to get in here. I apologize, but you're here. Let's go. He was 30 years old when he started his ministry, and he was a very controversial figure. Now, in our culture, we always focus on trying to fit in. God never fit in. He was just who he was, and he was controversial, not because he was trying to be, he just was, because the world was going this way, and he came to go this way. And if you follow Christ, you're gonna find yourself at odds with culture. So he did things that were counter to the religious culture of the time. He forgave sin, only God could forgive sin. He spoke to the weather, and the weather believed him and obeyed him. Nobody spoke to the weather. He gave himself names that only belonged to God. He healed the unhealable. He touched the untouchable. You shouldn't touch a leper or be in a room with a leper. He touched the leper. He hung out with sinners. The religious says, who is your Messiah, your mentor, your rabbi? Why is he hanging out with those sinners? And Jesus said, that's what I came for. He gave himself names that only God. He even spoke, unlike a prophet would always say, thus says the Lord. Jesus says, I say to you. He was a whole different level of controversy. But then he said, I'm going to die. Y'all are gonna kill me because you don't recognize who I am. And I'm gonna die and I'm gonna rise in 3 days. They were like, this brother lost his mind. But because he did all these other crazy, amazing, miraculous things that we can't do, let's make sure when we do kill him and put him in the tomb, we're gonna seal the tomb with an over 2,000 pound stone, and we're gonna put Roman soldiers in front of the tomb. So he can't get through the stone, it's gonna be sealed shut, and then we're gonna put the Roman soldiers because we don't want anybody to fake it. And Jesus said, that ain't nothing to me. And so we're gonna read this passage where it talks about him rising from the dead, but our focus is gonna be on the grave clothes that he left behind. And we're gonna see four insights that are gonna apply to us in our life and then give you opportunity to respond. John chapter 20, verse 6. Then Simon Peter came following him, went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. So he had the linen clothes that were around his body, and then he had the handkerchief that was around his head in a separate place. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. Number one, empty grave clothes prove Jesus died. Now, you have to understand, some people think Jesus went into a coma, and here's how crazy that is. He went into a coma, he woke up behind a 2,000 plus pound stone and Roman guards, woke up, unraveled himself after he comes out of a coma, pushes the stone away, overcomes the guards, and then he walked around. Say, is that cray-cray? It's cray-cray. No, that's not what happened, okay? But when they wrapped him up, they wrapped him up because he really was dead. And the reason he really was dead is because sin really does have a consequence. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Everyone say death. Every single one of y'all, 100% of us, I should say, not y'all, but us, me too, we're gonna die because of sin. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. When you lie, you destroy trust, relational death. Addiction destroys control and health, personal death. Pride destroys humility, spiritual death. Bitterness destroys peace, emotional death. Sexual sin destroys intimacy, covenantal death. that you have a covenant with your wife, who's the only one you should be having sex with. Let me say that again, because that's those counterculture. You shouldn't be having sex with anybody but your wife, amen, fellas, amen, and your husband, women. Amen. That's the Bible. Because God created sex, and he created man and woman to have sex, boom. And not only to have babies, but to be bonded as one. So when you give your life to Christ, we are the bride of Christ. He is the groom, and we are united as one. It's symbolic of salvation. When you sin, there is death. And because we all have a death sentence on us, God in his love towards us says, I'm going to send my son to die for you. He who had no sin became sin. Jesus, in his love for us, knowing that the Father has to execute judgment on our sin, because God is a just God. The reason we see protests all around the world for all kinds of issues is because we are a just people. We know justice, and that justice comes from the heart of God that he put in us, because he's a God of justice. So because we sin, someone has to pay for our sin. But because he loves us so much, he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son to pay for your sin in your place. And he's going to die a brutal death in your place. So the reason Jesus died is because he loves you, and our sin has to be punished. The question is, what are you going to do about that? But the first thing we have to understand is that sin does have a penalty. It does have justice tied to it, and someone has to pay. It could be you, or it could be Jesus Christ. Number two, the empty clothes signal more ministry. I'm sorry, the empty clothes declare that the defeat of the sting of death. In John chapter 11, verse 44, there's a story about Lazarus who died. Jesus rose him from the dead. And Lazarus was wrapped up just like Jesus was. Lazarus was in the tomb just like Jesus was. And they tell Jesus, Lazarus had a sister, Mary, and Martha, and they said, go get Jesus, tell him his friend is sick. And Jesus waited 4 days, and then he died. And then they came and got him. You wonder why he didn't go the first day? Because he had a plan. You know, sometimes God's not on your timetable. I want God to come now. I want God to give me a woman now. If God gave you a woman now, you wouldn't be ready for the woman. And if he gave you the woman you're ready for, you wouldn't want her. Because you're gonna grow. He's got a different woman for you. He got a guy for her, don't worry about it. But I'm saying, a lot of times we want God to work on our time, and God's like, not now, I know your timing better. So be patient. So Mary and Martha say, tell Jesus to come, Lazarus is dying. Lazarus, he said, I'm just gonna wait. And Lazarus died. So Martha comes out with an attitude. If you would've come on time, he wouldn't have died. Why'd you wait so long? He's like, woman, please. Show me where he's at. John chapter 11, if you want to read it, it's all in there. He says, move the stone. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. He comes out, he's wrapped up. His face is wrapped up, his body's wrapped up, and he comes out. And I thought it probably was comical that this happened, because he's like, this dude is coming out. This is the miracle. And then Jesus says, let him loose. So they just started to unravel him, and he started to spin around because they started to unravel the, it's like toilet paper all around him, and he's alive. This has really happened. I don't know if he spun around in a circle, but they had to loose him. Jesus didn't need anybody to loose him. He says, I'm going to come out of these grave clothes by myself. It says, loose him, but you don't need to loose me. God can undo the penalty of sin in your life. Some of y'all have been watching porn for years, and you sexualize everything in your head. God can undo that. Some of y'all have been addicted to drugs, and you've literally fried part of your brain. God can undo that. Some of y'all lied, cheat, steal, stolen. You've broken your reputation. People don't trust you. God can restore that. There's parts of your life you feel that could never be healed, that there's no hope for you. And on top of that, the devil's in your head telling you, You're a failure. You're dumb. You're ugly. You're out of shape. And then, by the way, there may be some truth to that. You're out of shape. There may be truth to that. You know what I'm saying? There may be truth. You haven't gotten good grades. There may be truth. You don't do math well. So stop trying to do math. Get a calculator, okay? But what God can do is show you what you can do well. Because I don't know anybody that can do everything well. I like math. I hate other subjects. I shouldn't say hate. I just avoid them. But God can restore what the locusts have eaten in your life. God can restore what the devil has destroyed in your life. He could change, transfer, or replace anxiety with peace, shame with dignity, addiction with freedom, fear with faith, brokenness with purpose. Whatever the devil has done, and you need to know, if God rose from the dead, certainly he can heal your life, heal your brain, heal your perspective, heal your relationships. And that's what he can do. So the sting of death that they thought they killed Christ, it's over. He's never going to prophesy again. Look, he's in the tomb. We crucified him. And by the way, the Romans were experts at death. They were experts at death. They beat him. They put thorns in his head. They whipped his back 39 times with 9 lashes, ripping skin off and muscle off the bone. They nailed him to wood. We have no idea the pain of a crucifixion. He hung there for 6 hours. They stuck a spear in his heart. He was dead upon dead upon dead. And yet he said, I shake it off. He can shake off whatever's going on in your life. And you may come here today and say, I'll just go to church. It's Easter. You know, I'll just go. God wants to transform your life. If we have never met, I have was addicted to cocaine for 2 years, smoking weed. My wife, who we've been married 42 years, we were broken up with. My life was a mess. Our relationship was a mess. And it was going nowhere. And God said, I can fix it all. Matter of fact, for 5 years, when I first had an encounter with God when I was 19 years old, to the time I really committed to when I was 24 years old, for 5 years, God said, whenever you're ready, I'm going to get you off your drugs. So I was doing weed since I was 16 years old. Every day. Then when I met my wife, he said, that's going to be your wife. Every day, he said, whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready. Some of y'all are hearing a whisper in your head, and you don't believe it. It can't be that good. It can't be that easy. It is, because we're talking about a God who rose from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. The old is gone. I don't do weed anymore. I don't do cocaine anymore. I only got one woman. She's right there. She's been in me 40-something years. Gone. And what was automatic and a part of my everyday life is so foreign to me. God can do that same thing in your life. Whatever it is, you're like, man, you don't know my problems. I don't need to know your problems. I just know your problem ain't as big as death. Because if it's as big as death, you wouldn't be here. If God can overcome death, he can overcome whatever you're dealing with. Your financial problems, your constant financial problems. You're constantly struggling how to find money, how to find food. You're swindling people, and the devil's telling you, here's how you do it. And God says, no, you just trust me, and I'll take you. I'm not saying he's going to put a check in your pocket. I'm not saying that dollar bills are going to fall out of the sky. But I'm telling you this, he will take care of you in ways that completely blow your mind. Number 3, empty face closed, signal more ministry to come. When that guy was wrapping up my mom, he was going so slow, and he actually calmed me down by how slow he was going and methodically was describing what he wanted to do in wrapping her body. And he said, can I cover her legs? And I said, yes. Can I cover her arms? And I said, yes. Can I cover her body? He says, yes. Can I put this around her back? I said, yes. And then he paused. And I was like, okay, and then he said, can I cover her head and put this over her face? And as I was thinking, why is he saying that differently? Simultaneously, while I was thinking that, I was saying to myself, because it's over. And he was saying to me, this is the final step. And when I do this, it's over. And I had to give him permission to pronounce my mom dead in so many words. Jesus was wrapped, his body, but his head was wrapped separately. It had a separate meaning to it. John chapter 20, verse 7. The handkerchief that had been around his head, different than the one around his body, was not lying with the clothes around his body or the linens around his body, but folded together in a place by itself. Lazarus, John 11, 44. He who had died came out bound in hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face wrapped with a separate cloth, and he said, loose him. What happens when they died, the body started to give off odors, there were fluids, and the mouth would eventually open because the muscles would relax. So they would wrap a handkerchief cloth around his head to keep his mouth closed, also to keep the shape of the face. So I want you to imagine, this is Jesus, our Savior, who talks. This is Jesus, our Savior, whose face we want to see. Can I get amen? Amen. Whose voice you want to hear. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus said, no, I got business to do. I'm taking this off because I got to speak. I got to call my people to heaven. I got to encourage them. I got to bless them. I want them to behold my face. My ministry is not done. And so he put that separately and says, this thing that was supposed to keep me bottled up and keep me covered, I have removed. Let me read it. Matthew 25, 21. What I want to hear Jesus, the risen Savior Jesus, say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear God say that. Can I get amen? Amen. Matthew 25, 34. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Say amen if you want God to say that to you. Behold, Revelation 21, 5, he who sat on the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these things are true and faithful. Revelation 22, 33 to 4, I want to see his face. My granddaughter, a lot of times she'll run up to me and she'll grab my face and look. She has no spatial concept, which I'm cool with, by the way. She'll be right here. And she'll talk to me like she's right here. Grab me, Bobby. I want to do that to God. Amen. I want to look him in the eye. And look what it says. It says in Revelation 22, 33 to 4, there shall be no more curse. The throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it. And his servants shall serve, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. Lastly, 1 Corinthians 13, 12, for now we see in the mirror, but then face to face. Everyone say face to face. I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Do you know that God knows you in a way you don't know yourself? God has a name for you that you know not of yet. I don't know what my name in heaven, but I think it's going to be something like Baboom. How many of y'all remember the little cartoon Baboom? Anybody? Okay, y'all are too young. Y'all are too young. There was a cartoon. I don't even think this little cartoon character ever said anything other than Baboom! And he would blow holes in mountains. He just had a big mouth and a loud voice. So my family always says I'm too loud. So I'm saying my name is Baboom. But you know, though, I don't know what it is, but I want to know. I want God to say, hey, man, come here. You did a good job. He's not going to tell us the things we messed up because those are forgiven. So even though he's not going to tell us bad things, don't mean we didn't mess up. We say, here's the name I gave you before the foundation of the earth. Here's how you lived. Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about God wants to have that conversation with all of you. Hey, well done, good and faithful servant. Come over here. You did a good job. I want to hear God say that. So when Jesus took off his wrap, he was like, look, I'm not done. I still got stuff to say. I still got people to meet. I still got glory to emanate. Matter of fact, that's our last point. The empty grave clothes were replaced by glory. Think about this. He's wrapped up in the grave clothes. He doesn't have anything on underneath the grave clothes. So he takes the grave clothes on. What does he have on? Now, I'm not saying he was walking around naked, but he had to put something on. Well, here's what he took off. He took off every remnant of death and punishment and conviction and guilt. He took it all off. Everything they tried to lay on him, he took it off and he put something else on. I don't know what it was, but one of those things he put on was glory of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, planted in the ground as a sinful, mortal, human body, raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. It is sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. And I don't know if you remember in John chapter 20, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, Thomas was talking smack. Well, he didn't rise from the dead unless I see the nail prints in his hand, unless I see the spear print in his side, I ain't gonna believe. And Jesus, with this new supernatural resurrected body, walks through the wall. The Bible says the door was closed. And he just went right through the wall. Goes up to Thomas and says, yo, you've been talking smack, check out my hands. You didn't believe? Check out my side. Do you know that when we resurrect, we have a body I can't explain because I don't understand the whole metaphysics of it, but I can tell you this, it's gonna be better than this. You think you look good now, but you get that one. This body is decaying. This body is decrepit. It's gonna get old, crusty, wrinkly. I was on the news yesterday. My wife said, oh, you look so old on TV. I saw your wrinkles. She can say whatever she wants, you know what I'm saying? I was like, what do you think I should do? She said, nothing, just let it go. Let's let it go. Yeah, we talk about getting old. I mean, getting old is a real deal. It's a real deal. Can I get an amen from anybody in there? All the old people. So, I was talking to a girl the other day. She's 30. 30. 30. I got a toe jam that's 30. I mean, I don't know what she's talking about. She's 30. It's old. She thinks she's old. I said, you feel like you're getting old? Yeah, I'm getting old. How about get a job? How about that? That body is, I can't speak for how incredible that body's going to be when we resurrect. For those of you who will resurrect. But there's also an opportunity today to ask Christ to be your Savior and be a new person today, where he can replace the garbage in your heart today, that people can see you and go, what happened? Is that you? And you're walking around like, I'm good. You wanna go get high? Nope. You wanna go get some girls? Nope. I do want one, but I want her to be my wife. You wanna go watch some stuff online? Nope. How come you're not depressed? God, Jesus. He can change you now. So in a minute, we're gonna take communion. You take out your communion cup. Hopefully you got one when you came in. If you do not have one, raise your hand and an usher or usherette will bring you a cup. But here's what's very important about this cup and all the campuses. You do not wanna take communion if you are not a Christian. Because when we take communion, what we're telling God is, God, I acknowledge that you died for me and rose from the dead. So you don't want to take communion saying, yeah, you died for me on the cross, you rose from the dead and you shed your innocent blood for me, but I reject you. You don't want to do that. That won't help you get into heaven. It'll further convict you. So what we want to do is give you opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior, then you can take communion. But if you don't receive Christ as your Savior today and you've never done it, I would tell you don't take communion. So I'm gonna ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes and listen very carefully. As we prepare to take communion, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner and that the penalty of sin is death. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior. As eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Christ to be your Savior, just slip your hand up really high, elbow above your ear, and I can see you. God bless 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 you. Real high, real high. God bless you. 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 We see you all on all three levels. You can put your hands down. Lord, thank you so much for those people. I pray as we take communion, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us what you did for us and what we need to do for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give everybody a woo woo for sure. I know. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Say woo woo. God bless y'all. We gotta write that down. Woo woo. I don't know what that means. I got an owl in my neighborhood, and every morning I hear woo woo woo. Woo woo woo. I'm trying to call back to him, but I'm not getting any response. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body that was broken for you. I want you to break that little wafer. Snap it." That represents Jesus' body that was broken, beat, crucified for us. Lord, thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your humility. In Jesus' name, amen. You take it. Be very careful. Sounds like rain. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Holy Spirit, rain on us. This juice represents his sinless blood. The Bible says there's no forgiveness of sin unless there's bloodshed. That's why in the Old Testament they killed the animals. But their animal blood wasn't sinless. So they had to keep doing it over and over again. Jesus said, "I'm going to shed my blood, which is sinless." Just one time. That's it. Lord, we thank you. This is the cup of the new covenant, not the old covenant. That you shed your blood for our sin once and once for all. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.